and now Evangelist David Shannon.
Good evening. If you will, open your Bibles to Genesis, the 13th chapter. If I could be remembered for one phrase, it would be the phrase that I'm about to say. If there's probably one phrase that could change an individual's life, it'd be the phrase I'm about to say. If there's probably one phrase that could change a family's life, it'd be this phrase. If there's a phrase that could change a congregation's well-being, it'd be this phrase. Now, it's not a complicated phrase. It's not complex. It's not long. It's only two words. Love, peace. Love it. Don't trade it. Don't sell it. Don't give it away. Hold on to it and love it forever. Let it be your lifelong desire is to have peace among whomever you're with. We've been looking on Sunday mornings at the Beatitudes. And this morning we looked at a very powerful Beatitude. Blessed are the peacemakers. Now who's blessed? The peacemakers. Why are they blessed? Because they have that inward peace. That peace that cannot be created without being a peacemaker. That peace that no matter what you do to me, you can persecute me, you can laugh at me, you can treat me just terribly, but you cannot take away my inward peace. You see, you can affect my outward peace. You can make my life miserable. But you cannot touch my inward peace if I'm a peacemaker. Blessed are the peacemakers. Not ones that are willing to turn and just ignore things. Not ones that brag about, well, I held my tongue. But those that are willing to say, I'm going to go out and I'm going to build peace. I'm going to create peace. I'm going to make peace. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Why called? There's not many people out in the community this evening that would know if we were right or wrong on doctrinal issues. But they would know something is wrong if the write-up in the paper said there was a fight out in the parking lot of East Gaston Church of Christ. If your neighbors know that people in the church bicker, they know something's wrong with the Church of Christ over there at East Gaston. That's why he said the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. So we see that being a peacemaker creates an inward peace. We see that it is an identification for the children of God. Now the question is this evening, how do we obtain it? If it's that important, how can we make sure that we always create peace? There's no simple formula. I can't tell you an easy way in every situation to be a peacemaker. A good start is to love it. To not be willing to give it up for any reason. But I do know a good example for us to study tonight, and that example is in Genesis, the 13th chapter. Now we see back in Genesis, the 11th chapter, to begin the story very quickly, that Terah had three sons. One of those sons was Abraham, and another son was Haran, and Haran had a son named Lot. Haran died. Abraham took in that son named Lot. We see in the 12th chapter that God asked Abraham to move. He obeys God, and he moves, and he takes along with him his nephew Lot. Then we come to the 13th chapter. Notice, we have a little background in the second verse of the 13th chapter. And Abraham was very rich in cattle. That's going to be the key here to this story. In silver and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel, into the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai. Now notice verse 5. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together. For their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abraham's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land.
We have a problem on our hands in this story. They both were wealthy. They both had so much that this land could not allow them to dwell together, and the herdsmen began arguing. They began, as verse 7 says, having a strife among them. We're going to see four things this evening about peacemaking. And the first thing we need to learn this evening, probably not even learn, these four points are so simple, we'll probably just be reminded of them. That is, number one, strife is the enemy of peace. There's no one in this world that loves and participates in strife and can be a peacemaker. No one. Proverbs tells us in Proverbs the 10th chapter and verse 12, hatred stirs up strife, but love covereth all sins. You see, strife begins with hatred. And there's no one that can participate in the hatred and the strife and be a peacemaker. I must this evening hate strife if I'm ever going to be the peacemaker. Let us look at Abraham. Did he hate strife? Yes. He hated strife. Notice what he said when he went to Lot in verse 8. Abraham said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdsmen and thine herdsmen, for we be brethren. Now you see, verse 7 already told us that there was strife. So he wasn't going to Lot in a preventive manner and saying, let's try to stop any strife that might be coming in the future. The strife is already there. He goes and he says, let there be none. He's saying, let it stop. Let it cease. And then he doesn't just say, Lot, I'm just kind of asking this. He says, I pray thee. In other words, I beg thee, I plead with thee. Brother Abraham hated strife. You can tell by his actions and you can tell by the words he used. He intended for strife not to exist in relationships that he had even on this earth. If we can just get in our mind that we hate strife, we detest it, we're not going to live with any relationship on this earth that is involved in strife. We're going to do everything in our power to avoid relationships and to not allow them to remain in strife. Yes, we must learn to detest strife. Now let's close each point with this one question. What about in my life tonight? I'll ask David. You ask yourself. Do you hate strife? It's either one way or the other. There's no one that says, well, I hate strife, but I love peace too. This evening, do you hate strife? We see also a very important lesson to learn, and that is, peace is a two-way street. It begins by hating strife. But peace is not like some of the Beatitudes that we have studied where we say, for example, blessed are the poor in spirit. And we say, you know, for me to work on this being poor in spirit, it's going to take me working with myself, me going to the Word, me praying, me meditating, and then me working on self. Peace is not that type of commandment. But too oftentimes we've thought it is. We've treated it as if it's something that I can work on by myself. You see, if you and I have a disagreement, if we have a strife, more than just a disagreement, if we have strife between ourselves, too oftentimes we think this is something I can just settle in my own mind and I'll solve it because I'll ignore you. I'll solve it because if you're in the same room, I'll walk out of the room. I'll solve it because I'll just swap congregations. Brethren, that is not a solution that's peaceful. What that is ignoring the problem. Peace is not one of these commandments we work on self. Oh, it begins with self. But peace is a two-way street, meaning we must meet others. And we must communicate with others. Did Abraham do that? Yes, he did it. It seems that when Abraham heard of this strife taking place, which he hated, he didn't do what thousands of options that he could have done. He could have said, listen, that's with the herdsmen out there. I'm not worrying about that.
He could have said, I'm just going to ignore it completely, and when Lot comes around, I'm just going to kind of slip out back and be busy. He didn't go to Lot and say, listen, I hear that your herdsmen are taking over all the watering places. I hear that your herdsmen are always being on the good grass. He didn't fight the problem. He was on a two-way street. He went and he met Lot. And he discussed the problem. What about me tonight? What about you? Have we been fooling ourselves and thinking that ignoring something, holding our tongue, is a peacemaking? That's not peacemaking. That's not facing up to the problem. What about my life tonight? Am I willing to hate strife and travel that two-way street? But any time I travel that street, I must travel it with a solution. You see, it's a shame how often we're guilty of criticism that is not to benefit anyone. What's criticism that doesn't benefit someone? It's any time we say anything negative without a solution. Brethren, what good have we done to sit around the living room and talk about how Bible class could be a lot better? It's just not what it used to be. People aren't coming like they used to. You know, some people just enjoy the negative talk. Well, negative talk has its place if in that same conversation I'm going to say, and you know what I'm going to do about it? I saw so-and-so was not there today. I'm going to invite them. I'm going to go in with my lesson ready and I'm going to do what I can to make the class better. I saw so-and-so is so depressed. You know, they're always depressed. Is that a solution? No. What about, I'm going to invite so-and-so over to the house and see if I can't cheer them up. Brethren, the church, our families, and us as individuals have no place for criticism without a solution. Abraham realized that. He went to Lot with a solution. How we need to realize and believe tonight that our life will be so much better if we'll just look for solutions instead of just talking about problems. But now notice, his solution was a pretty heavy price. Notice verse 9. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. If thou wilt depart to the right hand, I will go to the left. Brethren, that's a price to pay. Well, how do we know it's a price? Because the following verses tell us that Lot lifted up his eyes and he looked over to the plains of Jordan and he saw the green grass and he saw the watering spots that were as gardens. And this was before Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. Perfect grazing for the cattle. Perfect places to water. He looked over to the side of Canaan and it was not nearly as plush. You see, he went with a solution, and it was very simple. Lot, choose which side you want. I want peace. I don't want riches. Choose which side you want. And Lot chooses what surely affected Abraham financially. Now, I'm sure that God blessed Abraham later, maybe immediately, maybe 30, 40, 50 years down the road. I don't know. But I can tell you, I'm sure that the decision cost him financially. It's common sense. If you don't have as good a pasture, you can't raise as many cattle, which is money. He paid the price for peace. This evening, this is where we have to make up our mind. Are we willing to pay the price? You see, for some of us, if we had to make a decision like that, we'd have to kind of swallow a little pride because we want to always do what we want to do. He went and he said, Lot, you do what you want to do. This evening, we need to hate strife
We need to travel a two-way street and realize that peace is not ignoring a problem. And when we travel that two-way street, we need to always realize that it must be traveled with a solution. And once He did this, we see that it was a rippling effect. He created peace not only between He and Lot. He created peace among all the herdsmen. Now that could have been several people. That could have been probably easily 100 people. Brethren, in the church here at East Gaston, if you love peace and you create peace just between you and someone else, it's not going to end there. It's going to have a rippling effect. If you create peace in your family at home, it's not going to stop there. It's going to have a rippling effect. And when everyone here creates peace, it's going to have a rippling effect into the community. And they're going to see the love that we have, and they're going to know that we are the children of God. And we're going to give them something to look forward to visiting. Brethren, we're never going to bring in the people out of the community that are struggling with hardships and that hate the strife that goes on in the world and bring them here and say, enjoy strife in the church now. No one's going to leave the world for strife in the church. How we must offer something that's much better. And God has offered us a plan that's much better, and that is, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. But there comes that question again. Am I willing to be that peacemaker? Am I willing to pay that price, whatever it is? Too often times we hear of families, they're not willing to pay that price. They argue over property. Too often we hear of neighbors, they argue over boundary lines and they never speak again. Sometimes they argue over inches or just a few feet, and it destroys a relationship on this earth as long as they live. Blessed are the peacemakers, the ones that's willing to create peace even at the expense of themselves. Do I hate peace? Am I willing to travel a two-way street with a solution, even if it is expensive? And let me remember, the effect will go on and on. Now, I don't mean to be a pessimist, but let's face up to the facts. If I'm living for strife, that effect goes on and on as well. Let's just create strife between two individuals in this congregation, and it's going to have a rippling effect. There's going to be members that pick side with this member and other members that pick side with this member. And there's been many congregations destroyed. This evening, I don't think that peace is a serious problem here at East Gaston. But I think it is something that we always need to be aware of. And we always need to be working on. Because there's no way we can be the children of God without it. But it all must begin with an inner peace. How's your life and your relationship with Jesus Christ tonight? If you've never accepted His plan of salvation, brethren, you're not at one with Christ. You're at odds with Him. You're in conflict with Him. You don't have the peace that passes understanding. Do something about that tonight. Don't leave and go throughout the week knowing that you're at odds. You're scattering abroad instead of gathering with Him. Maybe you've done that. Maybe you've become a Christian, but yet, for some reason, you believe you've destroyed peace among maybe yourself, your family, your spiritual family, your relationship with those at work, your neighbors. Brethren, do something about that tonight. Don't pass it off as just one of those things that happens. Create peace and make it right tonight. Because according to Matthew, we're not the children of God as long as we are ones that have created strife. We do have that plan of washing away sins, starting anew. Let us never be ashamed to say, I need to start again. That's a blessing, a privilege. If you need to take advantage of that, won't you do so?